The recent police shootings of African-American men in Louisiana and Minnesota have reignited the debate over the use of deadly force. That was on the mind of a black community leader in Washington state as she strapped on a gun belt and took aim inside a state-of-the-art training simulator for police. Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports.
We're at the Washington State Patrol Academy in Shelton. Corporal Lori Hines guides a pair of visitors into what looks like a walk-in video game.
It's a little dark. Watch your step.
Inside, five large video screens form a 300-degree computer-generated environment. The actors in the video scenarios are different races, but this program isn't designed to measure bias. Instead, it's meant to test an officer's de-escalation tactics and decisions about when to use deadly force. On this day, Karen Johnson, Ph.D., is about to experience the highly realistic simulator.
It's not Dr. Johnson. I'm Trooper Johnson today. Okay.
Johnson is a founding member of the Black Alliance of Thurston County. It's a group that was created after a white Olympia police officer shot and wounded two African-American brothers. She's also a member of a newly formed legislative task force on police deadly force. Now Johnson is about to step into the shoes of a police officer. In this scenario, she responds to a noise complaint in a neighborhood. The lifelike scene shows a bearded man revving his motorcycle in his garage as an annoyed neighbor looks on. He then picks up a hammer, and things quickly get out of hand.
Are you doing anything wrong?
No problem. Just relax. Could you put your weapon down for a moment, please? We just want to have a chat. Nice bike, by the way. Is that a Harley?
Moments later, the man puts down the hammer and pulls out a sawed-off shotgun and starts blasting away. In the scenario, Officer Johnson has been shot dead. Even so, she gets some praise from Corporal Mitchell Bauer, one of the Academy trainers.
You did a really good job in this scene of acknowledging that he did have a weapon in his hand right away. You did try to initiate a conversation, and you tried to do a little de-escalation by commenting on his motorcycle, which is very, very good things that we're looking for.
In the next scenario, the officer must confront a despondent man in a pickup truck who's just been fired from his job. This time, within seconds of arriving on the scene, Johnson pulls her gun and shoots after a citizen suddenly warns her the man is armed. Johnson immediately realizes her mistake.
When he says, oh, he's got a gun, well, there still isn't a reason to shoot at that point because I haven't validated whether or not that's true.
It's split-second decisions like these that officers have to train for. And in this day and age, newly minted officers know they're going to be under the microscope, especially if they resort to deadly force. Bauer, the instructor, says it's a constant topic of conversation with new recruits.
They have been watching the news, they've been watching things unfold throughout America, and that is something that comes in every class. They ask those questions of how is this going to look if this happens.
Bauer says what he tries to impart on new troopers is that they must be willing to use deadly force if necessary, but whenever possible, their goal should be to de-escalate. New troopers are now also trained in crisis intervention, and starting this year, all current troopers will be trained in implicit or unconscious bias. For instance, how a white officer might view a black person differently. When it's my turn in the simulator, I confront a mentally ill homeless man who's trespassing on a vacant lot. As soon as I show up, he unleashes a profanity-laced tirade. He then reaches into his bag and pulls out a knife.
Sir, can you put down the knife, please?
Soon, he's slowly advancing toward me with the knife. I have him at gunpoint.
Please put down the knife, sir.
But I don't shoot. Afterwards, Corporal Bauer debriefs the scenario with me.
Could you have shot this person legally and been justified?
Probably so.
Probably so, right? But once again, and I mentioned this earlier, just because you're justified at doing something doesn't mean that you have to do that.
Washington State has perhaps the most protective law in the nation for police officers who use deadly force. To convict an officer of wrongfully killing someone requires a finding that the officer acted in bad faith and with malice. Karen Johnson would like to see that law changed, but she says that alone is not the answer.
We have to really have a collective approach to this.
Just hours before we went through the simulator, the news broke of the shooting of Alton Sterling by Baton Rouge, Louisiana police. As we sat in the car ready to leave the State Patrol Academy, Johnson said she was thinking about Sterling's family.
Here we go again. What is it going to take for us to stop the killings, stop the narrative? to be about public trust, public safety, public accountability. What is it going to take?
Johnson hopes the legislative task force she's on is able to come up with some answers. I'm Austin Jenkins reporting.